Live from the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host. And if it's the third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, it's the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour, starring none other chairman of the board, Gordon Parkman. Gordon, how are you?
I'm well, David. How are you?
I am great. And it's an exciting time these days because we got the NBA playoffs wrapping up. NHL may wrap up tonight, as well as Women's World Cup Soccer.
Yeah, we
great, right?
We were talking about all the standings before.
That's right, and it's a fun time for sports. Of course, you got baseball going on, and that's fun. And what's not going on? The Phoenix Coyotes. Oh, I don't know. We'll see what happens to them. Quite a
Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona Coyotes, yeah. Who knows what's going to happen there? It's a tough situation. No doubt for both sides, but I think they're going to maybe negotiate tomorrow. We'll see what happens. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And, the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, you're the chairman of the board. It's a great, great Chamber of Commerce. Tell us a little bit about it before we get to our in-studio special guest.
Well, I think the Chamber has been in existence we're into our 52nd year.
Wow, that's long.
And one of the major focuses we have, a couple of different focuses we have with the organization. First off, it's how do all the businesses in the chamber interact and work together to help everybody grow their business? We really want to make a strong focus on growing the North Phoenix community. And that's really what it's all about. And whether they're the business community, the education community, or just the public community in itself.
Yeah,
we also have some very strong alliances with the education world, and that's with Paradise Valley Unified School District and with Paradise Valley Community College. And so we have some strong – we are the only chamber that I'm aware of that actually has a scholarship fund.
Hmm.
And we have that scholarship fund with Paradise Valley Community College. A portion of our major fundraising events goes into that. And that fund is to be used by our members. Let's say one of our members wants to go and take a class to better themselves or whatever. We have a process in which to go through. But we've set it up with the college so that we have that fund available to our members.
See, that's awesome. I mean, scholarship fund, because education's important. In fact, I just read or heard something that I believe Arizona is number 50 in the United
well,
States.
Well, it's a good thing there's only 50 states,
yeah.
Because we'd probably be below that. I mean, I have a very strong feeling about the fact that education is so paramount to the future of the valley here, future of our nation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the future leaders of our nation are like my grandsons and other young people that are going to the school system.
No question. And I think they said 50 in either funding education, but I think that's what it was, but also I know the education system itself in Arizona is not rated very high. Doug Ducey did do something with the land trust recently. I just saw it.
Well, yeah, but that's actually
a couple years out.
A couple of years out, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going to happen in between. But it is important. So, yeah, the North Phoenix Chamber, definitely gives back to the community. We honor that. We like that. It is a great chamber. Definitely come to some of the events like this Thursday.
We have our Mix and Mingle this coming Thursday. It'll be at North Mountain Brewery, which is down on Peoria and 7th Street.
I think it's Dunlap.
Dunlap and 7th Street. Thank you very much.
Great place.
It's fantastic. If the listeners have never been there, you're missing a great opportunity. That's a great place.
Great facility, great environment, great food.
Oh, yeah.
Owners are cool.
Oh,
Robert and Candy.
Oh, owners are incredible people.
Very cool.
And we have... we have two lunches every month. One of the first one is the second Tuesday of the month. And we kind of refer to that as kind of our signature lunch. We have usually someone who does a presentation about whatever, whether it be a topic on business. We've had a panel discussion a couple of months ago, which was incredibly successful. We had a cross-section of people from... students in, let's see, the girl was a junior in high school. So we had a junior in high school all the way up to school superintendents.
Nice. That's
and
really
we,
cool.
even, we even had a representative from the police department.
Oh, wow.
It was incredible. Very, very valuable. Great education. I mean, the folks really provided a tremendous amount of information. So that we have that, and then the other lunch we have is the fourth Tuesday. And again, that one tends to focus a little bit more on networking.
Oh, good.
So it gives everybody a chance to, and there's always an opportunity for networking time before and after. So, I mean, it's really all about, I think the real key to being a member of the chamber, it's like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it. You want to be out. You want to be active. We provide the venues for you to get out and meet other business people. And it's really all about you taking advantage of it. And we also have a very good cross-section of members attending and guests. Mm. We're running pretty close to about 30% of our attendees tend to be guests.
Oh, that is cool.
And the plan is hopefully those guests become members.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely worth attending and meeting. And it's not just about... It's not about selling. Don't go to networking to start selling people. Just to see how you can help people. That's basically how I look at it. Get to know people, make some friends, have some fun, and there we go. And then in doing so, who knows? You may get a sale at some point, but networking isn't about sales. But our special in-studio guest today, a member of the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, Matt Demetrilius. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And I practiced for a year on your last name, Demetrilius.
Most people do. I've heard it several different ways. I've heard Demetropolis, Demonstralis, all kinds of ways.
What's the weirdest one you've heard?
Demetropolis.
Oh, that is a good one, though. How about Demetrilius? That's how you pronounce
That's exactly how it's pronounced. Great
job. Oh, thank you. Now, you're from Titomax, and let's talk a little bit about that, because in the days, in today's world, you know, there's different ways to get financing, and you have a I don't know if it's unique, but it's sounds like an easier way, not going through all the bureaucracy. Tell us about Titomax, what they do.
Yeah, well, we actually do car title loans, and we specialize in helping people that maybe can't get financing through the traditional credit sources.
Yeah.
We make it as easy as possible for them. The process typically takes 30 to 40 minutes.
Oh, wow, that quick.
Yeah, they leave literally. We say yes when others say no. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That is really cool. I could have used you when I went to high school dances. I got a lot of no's, but what can you do? Oh, that's not loans, though.
That's not loans.
But eventually, if you marry the wrong one, it's a sort of a financing arrangement.
Yeah. The ladies in my office might be able to help you with that better than I could.
Yeah, there we go. And there's the register there. So title loan. So basically, do you have to have free and clear title? Is that how it works?
Correct. So if you own your vehicle outright and there's no liens on it, you bring your title and the vehicle to my or any Titomax location, and we do an appraisal of that vehicle to determine the loan amount. Of course, we discuss that loan amount with the clients, work out the payment with them, talk about that. And once it's all done, we keep the title. They hang on to their car. They still own their vehicle. And when they make their last payment, whether that be through the full term of the loan or if they pay it off early, we get them their title back. That's our logo, actually. Get your title back with Titomax.
Oh, wow. I like that a lot. Now, do you what's the advance rate? Or would you loan up to the 100% of the fair market value or just a certain percentage?
Well, we have a process. We determine the amount based on what's called Black Book.
Yeah.
It's different than...
Not Blue Book?
Nope, not Blue Book. We don't loan on retail. We loan on what's like fair market value. Not always wholesale, not always auction values, but it's fair market value. And then we can loan up to 80% of that, and our loans go from $100 minimum to, if the value's in your vehicle, we can loan all the way up to $10,000.
Oh, so you have a max.
Yep.
Up to $10,000. Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the average loan, you think?
Is it right around $1,600?
Yeah.
Yeah, typically.
So it sounds like this is for some short-term type of swing loan or something, right?
Absolutely. It's meant to be a short-term loan.
So what are some of the reasons people would want, some of the reasons to get money to pay stuff off? Is it just some I mean, like maybe taxes?
Could
or,
be. Yeah. Could be taxes. I've had people talk to us about medical bills.
Medical?
When those are on your credit report, those are could be a nightmare sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you can consolidate them all into one payment, why not do it? Because, again, we don't do a credit check, so we make it simple. You get your credit cleaned up, and we can help you out.
I would think something in an emergency nature, like you get something with the house or something, your air conditioning goes down. Gordon, when you think something like an emergency would be ideal.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise you want to, you know, otherwise you may have time to try to raise the money. This is, I think, for you need it and you need it quick.
In a lot of instances, some people actually plan it out. I mean, think about that small business owner.
Yeah.
That maybe they're having a little trouble making their payroll this month. We can get them that the funds they need to get in, get out, take care of their payroll.
See, that's a great example,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
Because you got to pay your employees.
Absolutely.
And that would be – so, wow, that's a really good reason. I think I like that the best.
Do you only loan on car titles?
Only car titles. Now, we have some different products in different states. I don't know if they're going to be branching into Arizona. So, for example, motorcycles at some point. But well,
that was my next question.
Yeah, that I'm not sure about that right now. Right now, we strictly loan on car titles.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, is a truck considered a car?
Yep.
Right? Okay.
I actually have like the E350 vans. So, like, we can loan on somebody's work van. It's just the title has to be in the customer's name, not the business's name.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Now, if someone had equity, that's off limits. You can't have any. I mean, if someone had a small loan, I'm sorry. On the car, that's a no-no.
Now, in some instances, we can. It depends on the value of the car.
Yeah.
We can do what's called a buyout, but, of course, our job is to put the customer in a good spot.
Right.
So we would work through the customer with that. So, for example, if they had $8,000 worth of value and maybe only owed $1,000,
yeah.
we could discuss it at that point depending on what their monetary needs were.
So you could lend the money, buy it out, and take the net.
Correct.
Okay, that's an option then.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So a lot of people own their own cars these days?
You'd be surprised. Oh, yeah. Now, I've seen from your late model to brand new cars.
But probably not in Scottsdale, I'm thinking.
Well,
no, yeah. That's just a shot at Scottsdale. So I'm just thinking that, you know, they live above their means, and hey, I'm in Scottsdale. All right, we better not play this one.
No, right? I don't want to get in trouble down there.
But
I still have friends there.
Yeah, friends in high places.
Yeah. Yes,
no doubt about it. So that's pretty good. So the company's been around since 98.
Yep, 1998.
Wow, 15 states.
Yep,
that's outstanding. And Arizona since 2011.
Yeah.
How do I know this stuff?
Your research.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. That shows some stability, and it shows that it's. Definitely an important part for people that need what I would consider, you know, very short term, because you don't want to really go long term on this, right?
No, they're meant to be a short term solution.
Yeah. And do you coach them on that? I mean, do you emphasize that in the beginning when people come up to you and you say, you know, do you have a plan on how to pay this back before the term? Because typical term, a term is 2 years, right?
2 years. Yes. And, you can get out of it at any time. There's no penalty to pay off early, so that's another advantage to us over some of our competitors.
If you were to pay off in less than a month, do you still get charged interest?
You only get charged that 1 month's worth of interest. So as the interest accrues on the account, because it accrues daily.
Oh, okay. The
full term, no. So when you sign the contract, we go over that. We'll talk about your payments. That's another advantage to us. When you come in, like I said, there's no windows. So you're sitting down and you're actually talking to an individual. And every time you make a payment, we're going to show you on your receipt, this went to your principal, this went to your interest, here's your new balance, and here's your next due date. And then we talk about it. Do you have any questions? If our customers get behind, you know, we can actually come up with a solution, and we want to keep them from doing that. That's our job.
Which makes total sense. So if you, let's say, borrowed money, 10 days later, you paid it back, it'd be only 10 days of interest.
That is correct.
Well, that's pretty good.
Okay. Well, I guess that was a bit of what...
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You're not committed to pay that the full month. It's
Okay.
And no prepayment penalty.
Not at all.
Wow. So So this is valuable.
It can be, absolutely. We've had people come in on a Monday and they're paid off by Friday. It just depends.
Yeah.
How is there, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking about potential situations. Is there a limit to the number of times a person can do this?
Number of times, not necessarily. We're just not allowed. We have a limit on our household income, basically. We're not allowed to lend one individual more than $10,000.
No, what I meant is, so you loan them money this month.
Uh-huh.
2 months from now, they pay it off.
Uh-huh.
4 months from now, they come back and want another loan.
No, there's no limit on that.
That's what I meant. I mean, the fact as long as, but they would have had to have paid off the previous loan.
Yep.
No, I just didn't know if there was some kind of a,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we do. Let's give you an example. Let's say you loan $5,000 with us and you paid down a pretty big chunk and you hit your principal. You've got $2,000, quote unquote, available. We ask a customer, they can clear their interest. And then we can actually reloan that if they need that $2,000. So we're kind of like a line of credit for them. Their car is their credit.
So you said the example was $5,000 if they pay it down to $2,000.
Even if it's $1,000 and they take it down to $500, they still have $500. Now, we do an appraisal each time because values of the vehicle could change. But we do that every time, and we try and make it as easy as possible for them.
Now, if it was – but you said the per family limit is $10,000.
$10,100.
So you could – theoretically get two loans at the same time of $5,000 each.
Technically, yep.
Okay, does that happen?
Not all the time. That's a little less likely, but it depends on the customer's needs.
How do you protect yourself? For example, you probably do an insurance check.
Yeah, well, we have a pretty standard thing, and I got to be honest with you, your car is your credit. We loan on the vehicle, not the customer.
So even if they didn't have insurance.
We ask for all of that information, but we do not hold it against them if they can't provide it.
That's interesting. How about this? Anything in the contract, if you get in an accident, which means the fair market value could really drop, well, pretty good.
Go away.
go away. How do you guard against that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the lien. I mean, that's pretty much the lien on that. And
that's risk that you guys take.
It is a risk, and that's why our rates are higher than a standard bank.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
We have a good philosophy on that, though. It's like it's expensive, but we provide expensive service.
And you're in good hands with TitleMax. Oh, no, that's Allstate. Okay. but I would say that's probably not a big risk, but if they do get an accident and if they're underinsured for whatever reason, that could be somewhat an issue.
It's a risk, yes.
Do they personally guarantee the loan above the value? So in other words, your sole recourse is you go to the car, not after the person.
That's correct. It's the vehicle. Oh,
that's so interesting.
Yep.
Wow, that's not bad. Yeah, so it's basically non-recourse loan. Just after just the value of the vehicle. So you definitely hope no one gets in an accident.
That's correct.
Yeah, that could put a damper on it. Most people have insurance, right? I think it's against the law.
Well,
you
should have it. We ask every single time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's very important, no question about it. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with our special in-studio guest from TitleMax, the general manager, Matt Demetrilius. How did I do?
You did very well.
I'm excited. I'm going to be saying Demetrilius all day for the next year, and it'll be good advertising for you.
There you go.
Of course, this is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour starring Chairman of the Board, Gorton Parkman, and we will be right back.
Day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide.
And welcome back again. You are listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, starring, of course, Chairman of the Board, Gorton Parkman. And we have in-studio guest, a great member of the North Phoenix Chamber, Matt Demetrilius.
He remembered it after the break. He's got
there
it.
You go. You
I can't
got it.
Believe it. I am doing so well. It's a round of ovation. It's great. We got our thanks to our studio audience today. Of course, you're the general manager for TitleMax. How many locations, by the way, do you have there?
Throughout the valley, we've got over 80.
80?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're all 80. Over.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. Every street corner.
Darn near.
Wow. Last time I sat every street corner, it was when I was describing Van Buren and Washington.
Don't want to do that.
Okay, just kidding. That's a different type of loan. Anyway, so let's talk about the company's philosophy a bit and just go through that real quickly, their mission statement.
Yeah, our company's mission statement is, as I said in the beginning, it's to provide short-term financing for those who can't go through traditional credit means.
And so, when others say no, you say yes.
We say yes, and we actually do that. We strive to do that at the best rates in the industry.
That is really, really cool. And your customer service philosophy, I like. You told me actually before we started, we never want to lose you as a customer. Basically,
that is correct. We will go into every interaction, whether it be a payment, a loan, whatever the process might be, and we have to say in the back of our mind, I never want to lose this person as a customer, and if we do that, we win.
How do you train people to have a customer service mentality? So you know, someone that truly demonstrates what customer service should be in America, and I can only comment on what I've seen. I haven't seen in Europe or anywhere, but it's pretty sad. I don't think the customer service in various industries are all that good. Sometimes you find a gem and you go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, as a company, have people really get that in their overall being and their belief system?
It's a good question. I personally think it starts at the hiring process.
Sure.
You've got to have a right amount. You got to see energy. You got to see passion in that person.
Yeah.
For me personally, the way I teach when I teach my team and those that work with me is read a great book called It Starts With Why. And I think the customers need, or your associates need to understand the why behind everything you do. I learned that a long time ago, especially in the retail world, when a lot of people would work for me, you know, as a cashier or something like that. And we pay $8, $9 an hour. We don't pay a ton of money in retail. And what do they have? This is my career. It might not be theirs. They might just need to help pay their mortgage or
right.
they took a downturn.
Right.
So how do I get them to still get the results that I need? And I think it starts with having why. You get their buy-in, and you truly show them that you believe in them, and that's how you do it. And then you got to lead by example. If I'm not providing service, how can I expect my team to?
You know, that's a good point. And it seems like you enjoy that part of it.
That's the fun. That's a very fun part for me.
See, I would say that you have loan karma.
Ah, there you go. Thank you.
Describe what that is. You said that on the break, and my ears perked up. I go, that's sort of a cool deal right there.
Well, when you talk about loan karma, a lot of my peers will talk about that together, and it's, hey, we go out and we market, okay? So I'm going to go out, and I'm going to talk to people, and it's like Gordon said during the break. It's about building a relationship. So my job is to build a relationship with anybody that's within a 2-mile radius of my store, okay? I should be able to walk in and they know who Matt is. I can't go in there and sell them something. So now, does that mean that I want them to bring me business? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But loan karma is, if I'm not doing those things, it's not going to happen. As long as I'm doing those things, it's going to happen. So if I continue to take care of my customers and take care of the community, good things are going to happen to me. That's loan karma.
That's sort of cool, and you just know it will just happen.
Just got a feeling. You got to have it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't question it. You just know, do the right things, the right things will come back.
That's right. I mean, you still have to work for it. You have to go out there and beat the street and talk to people and go to these events. And,
right.
You know, and you do that, good things will happen to you and everybody around you. That's firmly what I believe.
Good philosophy.
Thank you.
And let's switch a little bit and talk about you personally.
Okay.
I mean, you've been in, like you said, retail a good portion of your career. So you've learned a lot of different probably industries, I suspect.
Yep.
And retail in itself can be challenging with the hours and maybe some turnover depending on what type of industry, what store you're at. So how long have you been in retail?
Boy, I started out in the, if you guys remember a company called Service Merchandise?
I think so.
Catalog showroom.
Yeah.
Started out of Nashville, Tennessee. I worked at one here. I was 17 years old and worked in the stock room. And I had made a commitment to my warehouse manager and my store manager that I was going to be a store manager by the time I was 24. Now, I barely missed it. I made it at 25.
But that's cool.
That's right. I set a goal. I worked my tail off and honestly showed leadership. And it's gotten me to where I am. I mean, I learned a lot. With Service Merchandise, I had six different stores in 8 years.
Oh.
Moved a lot. They called me the fixer. I got to go and clean up stores. So if there was a troubled store, a lot of it was some stores that needed a morale boost. I was that high energy guy that would go in and get the team fired up about what they do. And again, why do we have to do what we do? I'd stabilize things, and then sometimes I was in Pueblo, Colorado, and I was there 18 months, and then they wanted me to go to Vegas, and then I was in Vegas for 18 months. I got to come back home to Phoenix, so it was pretty exciting for me.
So what are these qualities you think that you have that people want you to come in, and like you said, you're the fixer?
Yeah.
What do you think they are?
I think I learned it from my grandfather, and this is something my grandmother to this day still tells me is that she says that I have the ability, much like my grandpa Nick, to get people to do things that they really don't want to do, and yet they don't know they're doing them, and they end up liking doing them.
Wow. Ability to get people to do things they don't like to do.
Yes.
And maybe they end up liking it.
They end up liking it, or they do it anyway because they know that it's important to me, and I've gotten their buy-in. And that's how I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is a good skill, no doubt. Now, you mentioned leadership. How would you define leadership, especially your style?
Whew, man. Well, I think leadership is being available to help others. I think you have to set a good example, so you kind of have to be the expert in whatever the area might be. But not everybody's an expert in everything, and I think from a leadership standpoint, to be a true leader to me, how would I word this? Without sounding too corny.
That's okay, even if it's corny.
I think it's just being there for others. You need to be able to, when you walk into a room, all eyes need to be on you, and you're someone that they can count on. They know you're going to be there, and they know that you're going to give them support when they need it.
That's really cool. I think we need more leaders in the world, so I like your answer. Now, is there a difference between rescuing someone and being a leader?
Yeah, because I think personally, rescuing, in my opinion, is short term, wouldn't you say?
I think it is.
You can lift somebody up, but if you're truly leading them, that's something that you're changing them for a long time.
Yeah, and you're allowing them to become their highest and best.
That's correct.
Where rescuing, to me, sounds like their highest and best it's just not going to happen. They may not have the ability in this particular job or role. And to rescue them is leading them to the inevitable, which is adios.
Yep, it's maybe putting out a fire all the time or a Band-Aid, whereas I think to truly lead somebody, you're developing them. You're becoming a mentor for them.
Yeah.
Somebody that you can talk to for a long time.
That totally makes sense, and I think that's important. Good managers they should know that.
Yes.
And now they do since you're on the air. So you may have a second career or second job in management consulting.
That would be very nice.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome.
And who's your manager that gets 15%?
It's going to be you. There you go.
All right. You've heard it here. Of course, you could have pointed to Greg or Gordon. Dave Isaac.
We'll split it. Okay. We'll split it.
Dave Isaac is doing it again.
There we go. Now, as part of rounding you out as a person, because I am impressed with your leadership skills, you're articulate, you have great energy.
Thank you.
So you have two daughters.
Yes.
Very cool.
Absolutely.
A granddaughter. Granddaughter, mm-hmm. A year old, right?
Yep. Keone Calliope Carpenter.
Wait, say that again?
Keone Calliope Carpenter. Say that five times fast.
Wow, I can't even say Carpenter five times.
I call her Kiki.
There you go.
Hey, that's a cool name.
That's a good idea.
There you go.
I love that. Now, I think you wanted me to mention that you're off the market for ladies because you're a fiancé.
It is true. I am off the market, yes.
Oh, man, and the calls just keep – now they stop. The board was lit up. All right, but that's you found someone cool.
Absolutely.
So that's an – that's always important, I think. And having a family like that gives more compassion.
It keeps you grounded.
Yeah, I think that's a really good situation. So let's take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with our very special guest, Matt Demetrius.
He's got it now. I don't think he needs to look at it anymore.
Yeah, I still did, though. And General Manager for TitleMax, this is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4, starring Yes, the chairman of the board, Gordon Parkman. Phenomenal guy. A great consultant in his own right. I mean, Achieve Results Consulting. We're going to talk a little bit when you come back about that, how they can get in touch with you. And this is brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back. And welcome back again. You are listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour, the third Monday of the month from 3 to 4. And that is starring Chairman of the Board, Gordon Parkman, Achieve Results Consulting, our special in-studio guest, Matt Demetrilius, General Manager, Titomax. Yes, I will be his spokesman because I can say his last name.
There you go.
Okay, I'm not going to ask anyone else here at the table to say his last name except for Matt. How do you say it?
Demetrilius.
I said it. I think
you
I
got
was
it.
Really
you were pretty close.
Pretty close. Anyway, this is a great discussion. Of course, North Phoenix Chamber gives away as a benefit, right, Gordon?
Yes.
Opportunity to be on the radio. It's 24/7 archive, breakradioshow.com. Go to archives under North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and you will see all the great interviews we've had over the years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. Before we get back to Matt, real quick, we got to give a shout-out to the chairman of the board, great management consultant. You love it, don't you?
I love it, yeah.
And you're good at it.
I believe I'm good at it.
And
my clients believe I'm good at it.
And you have the background for it, too, and it's good. Mm-hmm. I just want to give you a shout-out.
Well, thank you.
Like a minute or two, what you can do for your clients.
Well, basically, pretty much what I focus on is working with and partnering with my clients to help them grow their business. I mean, I pretty much ask a couple of very simple questions. Tell me what success looks like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And think outside the box. Don't be, I want to be here, I want to be there. And, just think about what that is. And my next question is, well, how are you going to get there? Tell me about your plan to get there.
Yeah.
The one thing I find with small businesses, and even businesses that have been around for a while, oftentimes they don't have the answer. They have no idea where they want to go. And obviously that's a great opportunity for me because what I do is I partner with them and help them define what that really is. Where do they want to go? And then also help them put together and implement the plan to grow them. And to me, it's really all about achieving results. I mean, it's kind of a play on my business name, but that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
And two things, achieving results and maintaining long-term competitiveness.
Yeah.
And that's really the key part. You want to have, you want to continue to be the leader in the market that you're in.
Yeah, no question about it. And very valuable. In the old days, I always thought you need a good attorney, CPA, and banker. These days, I think good attorney, CPA, and a business coach or a management consultant type, mm-hmm. One or the two, as long as a business mm-hmm. coach can do that type of stuff. Most coaches can't, though.
Am I able to say something?
Absolutely.
I will tell you this, that come to the any chamber event as a guest. Come as a guest, spend 5 minutes talking to Gordon, you'll leave a member. That's how much he means to me. I mean, it's...
Oh, very cool.
That, a lot.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow, and you're blushing, ladies and gentlemen. That was a great statement. So,
thank you.
But thank you, Gordon. And so let's talk, obviously, to the GM here, Titomax, Matt. You made a comment, and I like it a lot, and I don't know if people realize this comment, but on the break you said it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Correct.
Describe that a little bit. I sort of like that a lot, actually. I always thought, if you know a lot of people, that's great. But it's almost really the reverse. It's who knows you.
Well, it is good to know a lot of people, but the bottom line is, what good is it to know them if they don't know who you are in return?
Yeah.
So if you meet someone, to get them to know you, that means you truly built a relationship, and you're more likely to keep that person, whether it be a business partner, a friend, a client.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
That makes sense. Gordon?
Yeah, and I think that's a bit of what we were talking about, you know, during the break, too. It's really all about the fact of I know when I'm meeting with individuals that I'm just kind of beginning to get to know them. Believe it or not, one of the very first questions I ask them is, you know, what's a good connection for you? Who may I know that would be a great person for you to know?
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, and I've been in the Valley for a long time. I've had my own consulting business over 6 years now. And probably very few people that I don't personally know or the type of person, but I know doggone well if I don't know them, I know a handful of people that I can say, okay, X, Y, Z, I need to know this person, and I'll know it within 2 minutes. And I mean, to me, it's really all about how to – I think we talked about this early on, that's kind of the whole, you know, kind of the whole philosophy of the chamber. How do we help each other grow our business? Yep. And that's what it's all about. Not how I help – not how I help myself grow my business, how Matt helps himself grow business. How do we, as small business people, and to be very honest with you, all of us sitting around this table are small business people.
Yep.
How do we help each other grow our business?
Totally makes sense.
I mean, and that's to me, and that mentality, I really feel very strong in. That is what makes companies successful.
That's the karma I'm talking about right there.
The loan karma. That's right. You did say that. And let's talk a little bit about the process. So you get someone comes in, or do they call you first to set up an appointment? How does it work?
However they want to do that. I mean, we're there from 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays 10 to 4, always closed on Sundays and the holidays. If they call, of course, we talk to them a little bit. You don't want to give a lot of information because you also could let that person down, because really we base the appraisal on the vehicle or the loan on the vehicle. So if you're talking to them over the phone, I could look it up on the computer and say, hey, your car's worth X, but then they get to my store and it might only be worth Y.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have any misconceptions of that. So we base everything on the physical appraisal. So we can make an appointment. Hey, just wanted to let you know I'm wide open today. Or, hey, I have something at 3 o'clock. But really, it's however the customer feels comfortable.
So with 80 locations, do you sort of bump into each other at times?
You can. I mean, I've had...
But how do you do that? I mean, how do you... Because 80 locations, there should be a location, at a theater or drive-in near you.
Pretty close. You talk to the customer, and for example, when a customer calls in and they want directions, you ask them where they're coming from, and if they tell you, hey, just to let you know, you're going to pass 3 before you get to me. Most of the time, because the conversation I've had or someone in my office has had on the phone, they're going to come to me because I took the time to answer any questions they might have had on the phone.
Which is nice.
That's what it is. I mean, you can't give too much information, and the reason I say that is you don't want to mislead a client anyway. Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes back a little bit to what you were talking about earlier, is the whole customer service.
Yeah.
And I think what happens, most businesses don't realize that first point of contact is the perceived reputation of that business.
Right.
Whoever answers that phone on, whether it be a phone, you go into a retail store, you go up to someone, and they're having a bad day, okay, and they're reflecting that bad day on you, okay? Basically, what they have just done is given that retail store, in your mind, a bad name. It does to me.
It ruins the experience.
I mean, it's like, and I think that's a key part. People keep coming back to you for the experience.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. Okay, people will come across the threshold for a reason, and you've given them the reason. Just by virtue of how you do business, they keep coming back. I mean, let's take a look at, you've got, I think you talked about 60-some-odd stores in the local Phoenix metro area. You know, that's a lot. You take a look at, we were talking about, other businesses, please. We can get our hair cut in walking distance. We can probably walk to 5 different stores in the valley. I mean, I know for myself, I always go back to the same person at the same store all the time. And the reason is because she cuts my hair the way I want it to do. I mean, and people go, women go to nail salons and always ask for the same person because it's not that the other people can't, but that's who they're comfortable with.
Dog groomers, same thing.
It's all about the experience, and that's the key part that businesses have to understand, that you have to give them a reason for them to keep coming back.
Yep. He talked about on the phone, you had asked earlier how we preach that and talk about that. What I say to my associates, and I think our district manager does a very good job. She does an excellent job of communicating that. You need to hear the smile through the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an energy that you have. And if you answer the phone, no matter what your greeting is, you can tell if somebody's having a good day or a bad day by the way they answer their phone.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And a lot of people, you think it's simple to understand, but people let their emotions get the best of them. And I think receptionist is a very tough job. Especially if you have a lot of people, like a law firm, you have, 100 people or whatever. And there's one, my favorite law firm right now in Hyten. They had, and I don't know if they still have her there. I'll have to check because I call his direct line. But for years, this was the most amazing receptionist. Her name was Carol. And I would call, and she would recognize everyone's name. Oh, hey, Dave, how's it going? How's the kids? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that is a super talent or just a super person. I don't know, because that is not easy to do.
No.
I'll tell you another business that that is successful as a result of the people working there. And believe it or not, that's the restaurant business. People will go to restaurants. And I mean, I'm one of them for sure. I go to locally owned restaurants, and when I go, I always ask for the XYZ waiter or the waitress.
Oh, the person
always,
you like.
always. Oh. And when I make a reservation, I'll say I want this person to wait on me.
Really?
Oh yeah, because
wow, that's very cool.
I mean, to me, that's. To be very honest with you, that's a key part. That's part of the experience that we were talking about.
Absolutely.
It's just not that they have the greatest whatever kind of food in the world. You got somebody who is paying attention to you, comes up, there's one restaurant we go to with our family, and our grandkids are 12, and the youngest one's going to be 10. I mean, this gal makes a point. She knows him by name. She talks at him. She knows what they like to do. I mean,
makes a difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference.
People take that for granted.
And that's customer service.
That is excellent customer service. But I do have a request. How do I approach this with the great turnover at McDonald's? Because no one knows my name. That's supposed to be a joke? Wow. It didn't go off very well. But anyway, but I know what you mean. Some of the great restaurants, I remember in particular, and then we'll get right back to Matt and Title Max. But in Century City, I used to have an office, and it was called Harry's Bar and Grill. And phenomenal restaurant, just incredible restaurant. And what happened, this maitre d', it's a pretty exclusive restaurant, Century City is near Beverly Hills and very upscale. And this guy, all he needed one time to that you came in, and he would know your name. He'd know so much. And I came in a second time with clients, and he said, "Oh, Mr. Isaac, same table." It was only my second time, but the clients were very impressed.
And it makes you feel great, doesn't it?
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's just another I don't know if it's a skill level or just so much compassion and excitement to deal with people. Maybe it's a combination. But that's a great lesson if you're in business.
Oh, absolutely.
And that makes a huge difference. And, you just don't want to argue with customers usually.
Yep.
Right? That would not be, well, not the best way to go, right?
Nope.
But some people do. In fact, I was at I don't know if it's off topic, but, I'm used to car salespeople being stereotypical car salespeople.
And yes.
Yesterday I walked in, I'll say it right now, Larry Miller Hyundai. And this guy was like low key, laid back. And I go, "Do you really work here?" But I like the style. How about you guys?
Yeah, I don't like going in anywhere where they make you feel like a shark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that is very cool. So anyway, let's just go over. We probably only have maybe 5 minutes. So,
okay.
So people walk in. I just want to go through the process. Mm-hmm. We started to do that. They can call. They can walk in. They sit down with you.
Yep.
The next step, what you say, it's like a 30, 40 minute at most type of process?
Yep.
And they fill out an application maybe?
They'll fill out an application with some personal information, where they live, where they work, for personal references.
That's it? No income?
Nope. I mean, we want them to have income, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But you'll fill that. But you don't really base your thing on that. So it's not a credit check.
Nope.
And it's the biggest thing is the valuation of the auto.
Yep. We do an appraisal of that vehicle. We have a form that we use, and we go out, and it's a process. We were all taught how to follow it. And
that is so cool. Do you drive it as part of the appraisal?
No.
You don't even drive it.
We back it up and pull it forward. We maybe switch a parking spot. We need to make sure it runs. In most cases, the car's there that we saw it pull in. We start it. We check mileage. We do a walk around of the vehicle, look for damage.
Wow.
We make it as easy as possible for them.
See, that is cool, and people like ease. They don't like the bureaucratic red tape. There's a lot of commercials now on with banks, because of the bureaucracy usually, where they go, I got a 789 FICO score or whatever, and they go, and the banker said, well, this is what we need from you, and they slap their feet on the desk and say, no, this is what you're going to give us.
Yeah,
with a high credit
score.
I think it's a funny commercial.
I know where I'm at.
Yeah, so it's similar. It's like they're showing that, we're going to be an easy bank in terms of process to give you what you want, especially when you deserve it, I guess. I guess everyone deserves a loan, but some people in the world of FICO scores, some get it easier than others with lower interest rates. So what else can you tell us? I mean, what is there you were saying certain industries benefit a lot. I mean, anyone could, but painting, general contractors.
Absolutely.
So probably small businesses.
Small business owners, salespeople.
Yeah.
You made a big sale, but you're not going to collect on your bonus
exactly.
till next month.
Yeah.
Keep it at short term. That's what they're about.
Yeah, makes sense.
The one thing you mentioned during one of our conversations, and you might want to just make mention of the owner of the vehicle, when you talked about business and personal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're a business owner and the vehicle is used for business, I have to make sure that the vehicle is in the customer's name, not the business's name.
Gotcha. If it is in the business's name, you can't do it?
I can't do the loan, but they can. They would just have to go have the title put in their name instead of the business.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense then. And,
yep.
Okay, that's very, very cool. So let's get some contact information from you for the listening audience. TitleMax, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call my office at 602-358-2314. They can check us out at TitleMax.com for locations. My office is located at 1702 West Bell Road, which is on the northwest corner of 17th Avenue and Bell. It used to be a Taco Bell.
Oh, really? Let me just see. 17th West Bell. That's I'm trying to remember exactly.
It's out by the racetrack, right?
Yeah. It's right across from Turf Paradise.
I was going to say, it's out by the racetrack.
Yeah.
Oh, by Walmart.
Walmart's at 19th. We're kitty corner from Walmart. We're directly across from Turf Paradise.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Turf Paradise?
I actually have. I worked with Serena Sims, who's over there. She's great. If anyone, I'll give her a plug if anybody wants to get a little advertising. Through the
what does she
Paradise.
Do there?
She's their sales director for marketing and advertising, and I was actually amazed at the product that they can do for their advertising.
So. Oh, I'm going to go down there, meet her. Okay, and it's been a real pleasure having you on.
Well, thank you,
Matt. This is a wonderful way for people who need the short-term loans.
Absolutely.
We want to emphasize short-term.
Yes.
To have to get that, and I would clearly recommend Matt over.
I appreciate that.
Anyway, I could tell someone that is sincere, and you are sincere.
Thank
that's,
you.
Oh, yeah. That's important
Thank
to me.
Trust. Means a lot.
Yeah. And Gordon, contact information, not only the chamber, but yourself.
All right. Chamber, our phone number for the chamber is 602-482-3344. Go check us out on the website at northphoenixchamber.com. That website has all of our events, has pretty much all activities, members, information about all the board members and so forth. For my business, Achieve Results Consulting, my website is achieveresultsconsulting.com, and I can be reached at 602-509-1886.
Excellent. And we'll all be at the Mix and Mingle this
Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget.
And that would be June
18th
at our favorite place, the North Mountain Brewery. We love that place.
Yep.
Gordon, thank you so much.
David, thank you. Greg, thank you.
And Matt Demetrilius.
There you go.
Just
got it. I think he just likes saying it.
I do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And,
all sure of you, thanks.
Definitely will refer business over to you. Everyone have a great night. The Doors singing. Break on through to the other side. I don't know. Is that the name of it? I used to play it when I was in a rock band.
Break on through.
All right, break on through. I love that song. Anyway, have a great night.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.